Campus miħot li ta' punt seba. Jina Colin Fitz dan huwa minajnejn barranin. Dil-ġimgħa program kemm xejn differenti minn tas-soltu għalkemm kelli programmi simili f'edizzjonijiet tal-passat f'sensiliet illi jista' jinsabu fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus 103.7 tistgħu ssibuhom u tisamawhom meta u fejn tridu bħala poddati. Illum għandi l-esperjenzi varjati ta' nies varjati illi għexu għaw Malta jew ġew għaw Malta u għamlu xi perjodu hawnhekk. Min nis famużi sa nis mhux daqstant famużi però li wkoll għandhom storja xi jgħidulna. Per eżempju, ara dan l-aħħar ċelebrajna jum il-Helsin il-31 ta' Marzu tal-2025. Nirrekordjaw dal-programm f'April tal-2025 u nixtieq ninwassilkom klip illi tbatet lili permezz tal-medja soċjali minn 1979. Tal-tmim ix-xandir tal-radju Ingliż BFBS, British Forces Broadcasting. Kien hawn stazzjon hawn Malta, bbażata hawnhekk meta kien hawn l-Ingliżi, partikolarment il-militari Ingliż li ovvjament telqu minn pajjiżna fil-31 ta' Marzu għalhekk dan l-istazzjon kien għala f'dak il-perjodu. U nistgħu nisimgħu hawnhekk recording ta' parti mill-aħħar xandira qabel għalaq dan l-istazzjon li naħseb ħaġġib xi ftit ta' nostalġija għal dawk li għexu dawk iż-żminijiet.
In about a quarter of an hour's time, the British Forces broadcasting station in Malta closes down for the last time. I'm sure I speak for all the British servicemen and their families, the British residents and the residents of many other countries, together with the thousands of our Maltese friends who make up an enthusiastic listenership when I express our gratitude and appreciation for the wonderful entertainment that this very happy station has brought into our homes. I'm sure we're all most conscious of the enthusiasm with which Richard Asprey, the station controller, and his small but dedicated team have done to give us news, culture, and fun to suit all taste and all age groups. It has been a great channel of communication between us all, and in the best possible spirit, and without in any way forgetting the role of the excellent local Maltese stations, I know that BFBS will be sadly missed by many. And so I say to Richard Asprey and his team, goodbye, good luck, and thanks for a very, very happy memory. And indeed, as this is the last opportunity I shall have to speak on BFBS before I depart in HMS London and the Air Commander departs in his aircraft, may I, on behalf of the Air Commander and all the British servicemen, now on the threshold of our departure, send our warmest greetings and farewell to all those Maltese friends who are listening to me now. We've been through much together over 180 years, and we're deeply grateful for all the kindness and hospitality shown to us, and for all the loyal support which we've received over the years from thousands of you who've worked alongside us. I'm sure for all servicemen, our time amongst you will indeed likewise be a very, very happy memory. Good luck, Malta.
Our thanks to Admiral Cecil, Commander, British Forces, Malta. This is BFBS, the British Forces Broadcasting Service in Malta, on 93.7, 90.7 and 88.3 VHF. The time is very nearly 4 minutes to 12, and this is Richard Asprey on behalf of all the staff wishing you well for the future. And before we finally disappear, we'd just like to thank you all for the flowers, tears, good wishes, drinks and letters, some of which I'm afraid we just haven't had time to reply to. So for the last time from these studios in Floriana, it's goodbye, good night, and God bless you. Good night.
Mela mek smajna l-aħħar xandira tal-istazzjoni Ingliż BFBS meta kien ibbażat f'pajjiżna waqt il-preżenza tal-militar Ingliż hawnhekk. Il-BFBS stazzjoni Ingliż li kien ibbażat hawnhekk u interessanti naħseb anka il-mod kif kienu jxandru dak iż-żmien. Dan huwa Mingħajnejn Barranin, il-programm li fih nitkellmu ma' Maltin li għandhom ħafna esperjenza barra minn Malta u għalhekk nitkellmu dwar Malta u l-pajjiż ieħor li huwa importanti f'ħajjithom. Jew barranin illi għażlu li jagħmlu Malta dar tagħhom u għalhekk nitkellmu ftit ukoll dwar pajjiżhom kif ukoll dwar l-esperjenza tagħhom f'Malta. Mill-BFBS tal-istazzjoni Ingliż sibt fuq il-YouTube recording ta' persuna Ingliża anzjana illi ġiet Malta għall-ewwel darba u sifret barra minn pajjiżha barra mir-Renju Unit u ċitaw Malta biex iżżur xi nies jiġu minnha. Dal-istazzjon BFPS li kien ibbażat hawn Malta għamel intervista ma' din persuna. Verament ħarsel lej Malta li tfimis snin 70 li naħseb ħassibu interessanti.
You've never left Britain before, then it's something a bit special. So when we heard that 82-year-old Everilda Reed was visiting her granddaughter Lindsay and her husband Ian in Marsa Scala, and that this was her first time abroad, we thought we'd have a chat with her. Richard spoke to her this morning and asked her how she'd enjoyed the flight.
It was really nice. Everybody was quite all right. I quite enjoyed it.
In all your wildest dreams, had you ever expected to go anywhere by plane?
Oh, no. No.
Now, this is the first time that you've been away from England, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it how you expected it to be? Is Malta how you expected it to be?
Well, I didn't expect to see so much rocks. The sand, the colour. Not particularly the sand, but the colour. Everything seems to be the same colour.
Tell me a little bit about the flight.
We hadn't any difficulty at all. We just got on the plane and just come. We had a nice lunch on the plane. And it was really nice. Everybody was quite happy.
What about the taking off and the landing? Did you enjoy that part of it?
Yes, I enjoyed it all. But coming down, I got ear in my ears. They ate a bit. But when it landed, it went off. It was all right.
What do you think about, in your lifetime, people getting on the moon, men on the moon?
Well, we would have laughed at it when we was young. We would have thought, what's that impossible, you know?
Now you've come abroad, would you like to go abroad again? Would you like to see another country?
Yes, I would.
What country more than any other would you perhaps like to have a look at?
Well, I'd like to go to Poland because we have some friends there.
So you're getting a bit of a taste for it now?
Yes.
What about the flight back? Are you looking forward to the flight back?
Yes, really, but I'm not too keen on leaving my granddaughter. I'm just over there. You know, she seems to be such a long way away. Anyway, she'd be all right.
Well, let's hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Oh, I shall, I think.
And thank you very much for talking to us.
Yes.
Smashing old lady, Everilda Reed, who's out here on holiday, the first time that she's been abroad, and she did tell me another little story after we switched the tape recorder off and just as I was about to leave, which I will tell to you now, that she's discovered cabbage like she's never known it before, or in fact, since she was a youngster, and her mum used to cook a cabbage in a very special way where they come from, in Thorn, which is near Doncaster, cabbage boiled in bacon juice. Do you know cabbage boiled in bacon juice?
I don't.
No, well, Everilda hadn't had this for many a long year, but when she went along to the British Hotel for lunch the other day, they produced cabbage boiled in bacon juice, and she thought it was absolutely super.
Good old Everilda, lovely.
Let's have some music now for you, Everilda, if you're listening there in Marsa Scala. I think you'll enjoy this one. Up, up and away.
Nostalġija mis-ninsa bajna mek xandirit antiki tal-istazzjon BFBS illi kien prezenti f'pajjiżna sal-31 ta' Marzu 1979. Issa jmissini nisemaw parti minn intervista li kont għamilt mal-footballer minn Trinidad and Tobago, però li kien ibbażat fir-Renju Unit għal ħafna snin jilab mal-Manchester United, Dwight York, illi kien żar pajjiżna ftit ta' snin ilu biex ikun parti minn promozzjoni ta' kontra ir-razziżmu illi kienet ittellat mill-Malta Football Association. Kelli l-opportunità li l-intervista li l-dan Dwight York fil-Stadium Nazzjonali f'Taqali u fost oħrajn insomma għawnu ma' s-sebijiet tiegħu dwar Malta.
I like the VAR thing. I like that joke there. That was pretty cool.
That's much appreciated. Thank you. I work for the University of Malta radio station.
Yeah.
So just like a couple of quotes, please. First of all, what's your opinion of Malta?
I think it's a fantastic country. I mean, I've been reminded I've been here twice, but I can only remember once.
Was it to play?
They said I played. I can't remember playing, honestly. It's been so long. I've been playing football for so long. But no, it's the little time we've been here has been great. The people are wonderful. The country is beautiful, as you can imagine. The hospitality has been absolutely first class, so there is no issues. I really enjoy your country.
And tell us a little bit about the anti-racism strategy, the anti-racism efforts that have been done while you've been here, and your message.
Yeah, I think it's very straightforward. Red for Equal is an initiative from Man United point of view, where we strongly believe in equality, the discrimination, and injustice. I think that, you know, the inclusion is very important in the whole aspect of it. You know, we need, you know, not to be judged by the color of your skin. And I'm a firm example coming from the Caribbean and having to make it all the way at the football chain and playing for the greatest club in the world. It shows it can be done. And people should not. I know you have a few tragic moments here in your country just to highlight the challenges around the world. And it's great to see that the government is really taking this initiative and really putting it out there to the Maldives people. I hope the Maldives people embrace it. And it's all about education. You've got to educate people to understand that that discrimination and injustice and inequality does not stand in society anymore. You know, I always say life is too short and you have to enjoy these moments. But equally, we have to embrace the challenge ahead. And if we can educate people a little bit more in terms of going forward, I would like to see that happening. But there's still some work to be done.
You're from quite a small footballing country, yeah, but you made it to the World Cup. What was that like?
Well, that was incredible. I mean, when you think of the success that I had at my club level, you think of a population of 1.2 million people, and that's all we are. And to make it in the World Cup with some of the mighties of this footballing world, it's you know, I don't think words can actually describe what that felt like. And despite all the success that I had as a player, being patriotic and representing my country and what it means to the people, not just of Trinidad and Tobago, but certainly in the Caribbean, because we are like of a community as a whole, it was probably one of the most, I would say, rewarding achievement in my playing career.
And finally, what do you think of the Manchester United supporters in Malta? There are so many of them.
Well, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I was told, I can remember coming here in 2000, just before when I signed for Man United, I came here. The manager and I came here, I remember it, and then apparently I came again, but I couldn't remember the last time. But nevertheless, you know, what Manchester United brings, the support around the world, it's a global club, it's a historical club, a club with deep history. And you know that you've seen the playing side of it, you've seen behind the scene now, where you've seen all the supporters. And you know, so I have to say, I've been very lucky in traveling the world, but the Maltese Supporters Club is probably one of the best ones I've seen around the world. So credit to them. Continue to support the club. We're very grateful to have such a great support in this part of the world as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Waqt din l-edizzjoni speċjali ta' Minajnejn Barranin fuq Campus 103.7 illum qed nisimgħu mingħand ħafna nies barranin, nies differenti mhux minn persuna waħda. Issa jmiss li nisimgħu parti minn intervista li kont għamilt xi sentejn ilu ma' persuna Olandiża, Jeanette Daniel, li għamlet xi ftit ta' snin tgħixha Malta fi tliet ibliet u li kellha pjaċir li tiġi hawnhekk fl-studios ta' Campus 103.7 u titkellem ftit dwar l-esperjenza tagħha f'Malta. Jeanette Daniel ukoll kienet ippubblikat ktieb dwar il-preżenza tagħha f'Malta, però kien ktieb daqsxejn ta' differenza. Insomma, ejja nisimgħu l-intervista ma' Jeanette Daniel. Thank you.
Għandi mistidna fl-studio ħanaqleb bl-Inglis għaliex hija mill-Olanda. Welcome to the studio, Jeanette Danel.
Exactly.
It's Jeanette, isn't
yes.
it?
Exactly.
Jeanette Danel, welcome, thank you for coming in. Oh, Jeanette, you are Dutch?
Exactly, yes. Thank you for inviting me here, yes.
But so, you live yeah. in Malta.
I live in Malta for the past 5 years now. I arrived on my own and I'm living on in the three cities.
In the three cities.
Exactly, yes.
Fantastic. Yeah. What's your experience been like?
Very interesting.
Excellent.
I bought a house which I've been restoring for quite some years and it's finally finished. So it's given me the opportunity to see Malta from a lot of different angles. Yes.
Absolutely. And in fact, you've captured these different angles in a book, which is the reason why I've invited you
Lovely.
Here. This book is called Dolly's Malta.
Yes.
And basically, Dolly is your car.
Yes.
And you drive a dolly, a Citroën dolly.
De chevaux, they say in French. Yes.
De chevaux, two CV in English. It's a very characterful car. And it's associated a lot, like when we associate the Volkswagen van with surfers.
Yes.
The Mini, the old Mini with the 60s. This Citroën is associated with people sort of who are free spirits.
Exactly, yeah.
And do you consider yourself that?
I definitely am. But it's true, it looks a bit like a comic car also. Whenever you see it arrive yes. around the corner with the two round lamps, I mean, everybody yes. smiles. Wherever I go with the car, everybody is yes. in a good mood.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, so while doing the house, I basically had, you know, that I all of a sudden said, get me out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I would take the car for a drive and open the roof, put on some music and think, mm-hmm. okay, this is great. And I would literally drive around the whole of Malta from left to right, up north, through all the little streets, all the towns. I think I sort of got to know Malta quite well. I mm-hmm. can't pronounce the names, though. So that stays a real problem. But the dolly for that, to be able to drive on all the small roads, has been fantastic.
Yes. The That's narrow that. Roads as well in the little villages.
Yeah.
She's a small car. Does she have a personality? Does she have a name?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I bought her, 7 years ago from an Italian guy in uh-huh. the south of France. And he's called Luigi. So I named the car after Luigi. So on all my traveling.
Yes.
Yes. So Malta's been quite a story because I arrived sailing the first time, sailing the second time, and then I came back for a week and I actually bought a house. So, it was like, okay. I had neighbors in London who became my neighbors also in Paris, and they had actually bought a house in Malta. So I thought, oh, why not a third time, right?
Oh.
And so that's how I actually ended up here on an accidental weekend buying a house. and then I took the dolly. I drove it down from the south of France to Malta. So I took the whole west coast uh-huh. only along the small roads because I don't take her on the highway, so it took me like 12 days of
to arrive here because Luigi isn't fast enough to go on the autobahn autostrade whatever.
I could probably hit 80 kilometers if I really push it.
Gosh.
100 if I get behind a lorry, you really yes. stick behind a lorry
with a little engine that sounds like a sewing machine. yes
and otherwise I do the small roads, and if I'm happy to do like 50 kilometers an hour, and she costs me like 20 euros a day of petrol for the whole day of driving.
Wow.
So it's been quite exciting. Yes.
Because Luigi is one of the few classic cars, a car that was that came out in the 50s. I'm not sure what model year.
Yeah, 77.
Because they kept making them. They kept making them for a long time, but the design is from the 1950s.
Exactly.
It's a very basic car.
Yeah, very.
And because of that, he's one of the few type of classic cars you can still use every day.
Yes.
And so one of the few classic cars you still see on the roads every day, maybe the occasional Volkswagen Beetle or old Mini. And as you said, they always raise a smile.
Yeah.
So full of character. And you've also explored the character of Malta, and you've produced this book, which is pictures of some of Malta's iconic places.
Yes.
Seen through a particular lens, though. Seen through a particular aspect. Could you explain?
Absolutely. Well, when driving actually down from France to here, I sort of captured already some views of what I was driving through the rear window, and seeing what I saw in front of me and thinking what I'd seen behind me, which I hadn't actually seen, but which popped up in the mirror. Okay. And so that's how I started to do all the photographs here in Malta. But to put a whole book together with just the mirror, a situation was not a good idea, it becomes boring. So I thought I'm going to include the car in every single picture that I find. But really, I have to make sure that I show Malta from all different angles. And so the different angles of the car are.
So, for example, I'm seeing a picture here.
Yeah.
This one is with the mirror, right? So yeah. It's in Dweira, Gozo.
Yeah.
And you have the tiny little boat houses with different coloured doors.
Exactly.
And some of the landscape. And then in the mirror, in the foreground of the picture, there's the bit of the inner sea, the inland sea.
Yes, exactly.
Where the little hole in the wall is, where the sea comes in.
Yes.
So it's quite an atmospheric picture.
Yeah.
Again, you've got Marsa Schlock, you've got some pictures of Lutzus on the ground, here on the beach, and then the car mirror is reflecting what's behind you, behind the photographer, which is a wall full of paintings and pictures of fish and sort of like graffiti, but nice graffiti.
Yeah, to challenge the mind a bit, yes.
Yes. But also here you're parked in a narrow little country lane with Camino in the distance.
Yeah.
And there's a picture over the bonnet of Luigi, your car, with those cute little frog eyes. Exactly. So there's Luigi, the dolly, doing a tour of Malta, practically. Well, and these beautiful pictures, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a photographer, though, in life? I mean, is that one of your jobs?
It is one. When I was seven, I picked up my father's little Kodak camera and I literally kept it. And then over the years, I've always been photographing until I went to university, did art history and started to work actually with the auction houses and everything. Started my own galleries representing other photographers.
So you're an artist
as well? Also, yes. And then over all these years, all these photographers, which are very well-known photographers, told me, you've got to pick up your own cameras. But I never dared because their work was so good that I said, well, there's no way I'm going to be any good. So this is actually the first time that I said, okay, I'm going to really do a project and make sure that I make a book with it.
So this is your first book?
Absolutely, my first book.
And now you're marketing this outside of Malta as well?
Yes, I've asked some bookshops, the travel bookshops in London I've contacted. And in fact, the book is doing very well in Malta, which is good news. So we're looking into doing a second edition.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Christmas is coming up. I mean, it's a lovely coffee table book. There isn't much text. It's all pictures,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, mostly pictures. Just little text on what you know, the little interests of Malta, or what on Valletta or the Festa.
I like the fact that, for example, this picture here, Cappella ta Santa Caterina ta Tormam Abba. You've put the original names in there. Yeah. You haven't sort of they're not in English or they're the Maltese names for various places. I really like this picture of Luigi the dolly parked just next to Port de Bom. Il Bombi, the gate,
yes,
just outside Floriana,
and it was a challenge.
it's a taken at night, and it's parked obviously when there was less traffic, because I don't think you took pictures while you were driving, right? You were totally safe.
But the
picture is a bit evocative. It's almost like whenever people go to Paris, they always take a picture at the Arc de Triomphe, right?
Exactly.
Behind them, and the similarity is incredible. Port de Bom is a smaller version of that arc, but it was also built in the time of many French knights in Malta, so from a similar period. And it's like almost like Malta's Arc de Triomphe in a way.
Exactly.
With a French car in front of it.
I mean, it's like a small joke there.
It
was a friend who challenged me. She said, you've got to do, you know, two parts in Valletta. So I said, off I went. But it's to also to be able to photograph it and really challenge yourself also to make sure there's no people or hardly any people in the photograph, so it's taken me quite some time, and I would also obstruct, of course, traffic, trying to park the car in exactly the right position to get the photos right. The people enjoyed it. Actually, they helped out and they laughed, and so it's been a very nice adventure.
Of course, a social adventure, hasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yes. And also to show Malta purely by the beautiful side it has. You know, you will see there's no modern buildings or nothing. It's really as beautiful as Malta can get.
A lot of history in here, and lots of different angles. Yeah. I'm seeing the Imtarfa clock tower taken from just beneath it, through Luigi's door, through the window, through the roof, because it's got a sliding roof.
Yeah.
And this clock tower looks like something out of Florence, for example, in Italy.
Yeah.
So, of course, it shows all Malta's history and relations with all the different countries over the years. And there's some here in the dockyards and with ships.
Yeah.
And boats, the fortifications, the Maltese balconies, the sea is obviously everywhere. Fantastic! This is such a great idea.
It's I'm happy to leave something so nice in a way that I've really enjoyed driving around and enjoying Malta. Yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time living in Malta, or do you divide your time between here and other countries?
No, it's full-time Malta.
Full-time in Malta.
Yeah.
And has your experience been good the last 5 years?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I tend to go out for family reasons. My children are in Paris and my family is in Holland, so I do go up and down. And then I have another love, which is sailing.
Sailing.
So I tend to sail the oceans and not just little races in the Mediterranean. And things like that, but I'm very attracted to the ocean.
Do you do all the sort of work and you know, pulling the sails in and all that? Those
grinding,
and it looks very, very tough something that you need to be strong and resilient for it. Huh?
Absolutely, yes. I was born on the water in Holland on one of the houseboats in the harbour in Holland. And the first 4 years of my life was on the water. So basically, I'm a water rat. I did do the papers to become a captain. As a woman, you're not always believed to be a sailor. So I thought, well, at least I'll get the papers done. And that's
Qualified and everything. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Do you find the sailing scene interesting here? I mean, as you said, you sail on the ocean, so it's not really your scene. But do you still have contacts and hang out with other people who are involved? Because there are a lot of people who are into sailing here.
Absolutely.
And they have yachts and some good sailors as well, I assume.
Yeah, no, very well. I've done the Middle Sea Race here.
Have you?
That was on a Swan, on a classic Swan. And then I have a friend who has a J112, and we tend to go out very regularly. We take part in the double-handed race. We've done the round of Malta. We've done the eight. And now recently all the races have been cancelled because of the horrible weather over the weekend.
The last few days.
Yeah.
What are relations, I mean, I don't know, from your perspective, between Holland and Malta? I mean, good communication, lots of Dutch people in Malta, lots of Maltese in Holland.
I wouldn't know if there's Maltese in Holland that much, funny enough, but I do know there's quite some Dutch people here. We organize drinks like every week.
So there's a Dutch community group.
Recently I wasn't here, but they did a whole bike drive around in orange t-shirts. And,
of course, orange the colour of the Dutch. And I do know that, I don't know if we still do, but Malta used to export a lot of potatoes to Holland.
Oh, there you go. Well, they are good.
that's the famous thing. And you're not interested in having a modern car? Like Dolly is Luigi, your Dolly. Mm-hmm. What about parts and keeping? Is it okay? I mean, when does he need maintenance? Does he break down? I mean, he is an old car.
He is an old car, and actually, the more you drive an old car, the better they stay. But now, yes, some reparations have to be done on it. But basically, there is a dolly doctor here on the island.
A dolly doctor.
Who's Philip Gregg. So he's been actually, you know, I mean, he taught me a lot of things. So over all the driving, of course, I have a problem somewhere, but I'm very handy, so I repair it myself.
You're a sailing captain, so I'm sure
you have to.
You're able to.
It's just so fantastic, because really I think I could never buy another car, because I've done probably like 30,000 kilometers or something, you know, after the COVID hit in last year, and then we were free on the 1st of July.
Yes.
But the 2nd of July I got on the boat with the car and I drove off to do the whole east coast of Italy. uh-huh. all over through the mountains, through the lakes, and I have a tent in the back, so wherever I stop, I take my tent and I blow up my, you know, my little cushion and I sleep.
Such a free spirit, amazing.
So completely free. Yes. I mean, and I do it on the beaches or anywhere until the police caught me and asked me, you know, what on earth I was doing, you know. Well, you know, I just said, no, you have wild dogs, you have to sleep in the camping, so it's for your own protection. So I said, okay. And yes, but it's been extraordinary. I've been through the mountains, you know, when the most extraordinary drive was when I was going up and up the mountains and all of a sudden the roof is open and I drive and all of a sudden I see the ski lifts, the chairs above me, and I'm like, oh my God, I would never have imagined ever, you know, when you go up and ski and you're in the lift, never think I'd see a dolly beneath me. So now from the other end, I saw the ski lift above me. So that was like the most surprising view. But I mean, I've parked in Florence. I've been all over in Rome.
Because it's such a rugged, simple car. Yeah. I mean, you don't need an off-roader or you know, a Jeep or a Land Rover or something. You just have this simple Luigi, no power steering, no air conditioning or anything. But you can go anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, so the next idea is to go up to Scandinavia, like Norway or Sweden. Or
overland.
Overland. And see what I can do. I mean, but there's a whole world of dollies, in fact. People, recently there was a whole group of 100 dollies who met up in Argentina to drive over the salt pans. I mean, who could even, you know, the starting line, imagine starting with 100 dollies racing off.
Yes.
It was extraordinary. And now they're racing in Morocco, in the dunes somewhere. So,
So you're a member of the international dolly community?
I should become, actually. Okay. I haven't done it yet. But,
have you met other dolly owners here? There are two or three running around.
Yeah. No, there's 12 of us.
I know a friend of mine, Marco, has just restored one. He's a water specialist.
Yeah. Okay.
And he posted some pictures on Facebook. And there are a number of Maltese fans. I know some people collect French cars. And one person in particular is a massive fan of French cars. So he has a garage full of them.
Yeah, there's a sailing family who has quite a lot of dollies.
Okay. Of course, in Holland, you produced the DAF cars. There was the DAF.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it? That was the Dutch company, which was eventually bought by Volvo, I believe. So there you go. So you've got your own.
DAF has a big story in our family because it was actually my grandfather, who designed the automatic gearbox.
Really?
And, went to DAF and they took it and that was it. But
That's a big thing because...
But there was no patent on it yet.
No patent, so he didn't make any money. But of course, because all the DAF cars adapted this sort of semi-automatic, which was unique to these cars. Yeah. So if you drive these particular small cars, you needed to learn how to drive them because it wasn't manual, it wasn't automatic.
Exactly.
It was somewhere in between.
My goodness. So that was him. So the cars are somewhere with us.
So a bit of automotive history right here in the campus of FM Studios here. Yeah. Your father, you said.
Grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That's really good to know. Because I'm a classic car fan, that's why. So I get a bit excited about these things. Well, it's been fantastic getting to know you. And I wish you many more years of happiness here in Malta and all over in all your travels. Jeanette.
With the car.
Danelle. With Luigi. With the dolly. Is there a Facebook page maybe dedicated to the book?
Yes, it's 2CV Luigi on Instagram.
Instagram 2CV Luigi.
Yeah.
But the book is available in bookshops as well?
Absolutely, yes.
So easily available. Some wonderful scenes of Malta seen through the body or the windows or the roof of Luigi, the dolly. And it's by Jeanette Danelle Hellier.
Hello.
All the way from Holland, but resident of Malta in Birgo.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
A pleasure. Fantastic to get to know you. Dolly's Malta, Jeanette Danelle Hellier.
Jeanette Danelle Mek mill-Olanda li kienet għamlet periodu tgħix f'pajjiżna. Il-kantant famus Robert Palmer, li sfortunatament kien ħallina lura fil-bidu ta' snin 2000, feta pjuttost tenera kien għadu laqas kważi għala 60, kien midba tak tal-qalb, però kien kiseb suċċess kbir lejn tmiem snin 70 u partikolarment f'nofs snin 80 u anka xi ftit f'snin 90 b'bosta diski differenti. Kiseb suċċess kbir madwar id-dinja kollha inkluż fl-Istati Uniti. Però ftit jafu li Robert Palmer kien trabba f'pajjiżna. Għall-inqas għamel perjodu meta kien żgħir jgħix f'Malta għaliex missieru kien fir-Royal Navy u kien ibbażat hawnhekk għal perjodu ta' snin. U Robert Palmer kien jieħu pjaċir jisma' stazzjonijiet Amerikani u jisma' il-mużika eżotika differenti li kienu jdoqqu daw l-istazzjonijiet Amerikani li kont tista' taqbadhom minn hawn Malta. U dawn ħallew influenza fuq il-vjaġġ mużikali ta' Robert Palmer. Ejn nisimgħu silta minn intervista illi kien taf l-Istati Uniti fis-snin 80 meta jitkellem dwar it-tfulija tiegħu.
When you think about yourself, your records, your videos, in the midst of what's on MTV, do you find it incongruous sometimes? I mean, people sitting at home watching you sitting here say, this is anything but a rock star by demeanor, by appearance, the tailored suits. And
well, to a certain extent, but then it's all, by the time it's been made into a video, it's all artifice anyway. Everybody gets dressed up and they bring on the lights to do it, so it's all, the look of it has always been incongruous to me. I never saw television or movies till I was 12 years old. I was living in the Mediterranean. My father was in the Navy. And yet I heard lots and lots of music, but I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what instruments looked like even. So I always found it odd when people went out of their way to, well, often look ridiculous, to draw attention to themselves. So, but I think, on the other hand, to answer your question, it is a bit incongruous since when my children see me pop up in the midst of these, they go, Daddy, what are you doing on there? You know. But on the other hand, to finish my thought, if you take the visual away and listen to, say, Guns N' Roses, I don't think they're a kicking rock band personally, but they look it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it depends.
I read a quote from you once, and sometimes these quotes are not fully accurate, so you can back it up or refute it, where you said, you like rock music, but you don't like rock and roll.
Well, it's because what I was talking about was the excesses, the behavior that rock and roll is famous for. You know, the trashing hotels, and you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't get it. Manifest it really by talking about it, but I was exposed to it when I joined my first group when I was 16. I used to open up for groups like The Who and Jimi Hendrix, and I just couldn't believe the behavior. It was like, yikes, do I have to be around this in order to get to sing, you know?
Briefly, you mentioned your father earlier. He had a very interesting job that I take it had some effect on you and your view of the world.
Yeah, he was attached to the Navy, and his job was, how can we put it, I don't know if it's still safe. He listened to the movement of foreign shipping, for instance.
He was an intelligence officer?
Yes, an intelligence officer, thank you. Of course, he couldn't tell us what he did specifically, and it required that every 3 years we went to a different base where they, Cyprus, North Africa, Malta, Gibraltar. I suppose because there was a lot going on down there at the time, you know. And it did give him a world view. A lot of his, a lot of people in his job committed suicide. So it gave him a great sense of humor to protect himself from, I suppose, a lot of foreknowledge that he would have before the public had it, you know. At times he'd get awfully upset, and nobody knew why, and he'd say, I can't talk about it. So,
did that spur your imagination? Just wondering about what it might be he was dealing with and the mystery of it?
No, because the other aspect was that he worked shifts, like 3 days on, 3 days off, some nights. So a lot of the time, since it was on a tiny island, it would be off to the beach. So it was pretty much a fun time, and I wasn't interested, you know. It never came up.
Mek smajna il-kantant Robert Palmer, famuż għad-diski bħal Addicted to Love u Simply Irresistible, diski li kienu kisbu suċċess enormi, partikolarment fis-snin 80, jitkellem dwar it-tfulija tiegħu għal Malta f'intervista li kien ta' fuq it-televiżjoni Amerikana lura f'nofs is-snin 80. U bekk nikkonkludu din l-edizzjoni speċjali ta' Minajnejn Barranin fejn smajna il-vuċi ta' bosta nies differenti, nies li għamlu perjodu f'pajjiżna. Jiena kollu fissa nilkom grazzi li naqattu magħna illum, il-programm jirritorna bħallum ġimgħa fl-istess ħin u tinsewx li eventwalment jittella' wkoll fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus 103.7 hemmhekk issibu posta. Anzi, kważi il-programmi kollha, is-sensi li tkollha li nxandru hawnhekk anke li xandarna fil-passat, tista' ssibuhom hemmhekk fuq is-sit elettroniku inkluż din is-sensiela u tisimgħu l-edizzjonijiet differenti fuq il-kompjuter tagħkom meta u fejn tridu. Thank you.